everyone, this is Dust Storm, and I am sitting down with Mike, better known as Strong Side, one of the casters for the Halo Championship series. I believe this is your debut appearance on the podcast, so welcome to Podtacular.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dust Storm. Good to be on, and yeah, man, a lot of exciting stuff coming up. Fall Finals is just around the corner, and I mean, everybody's getting ready for this event, so it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, and I heard that there's a lot of good stuff over the past weekend with the EU Finals, with FOB Esports taking the win over there, and saw quite a few tweets of some really great crowd participation and a lot of just good feels during the whole event. So if it was good over in the EU scene, hopefully that means it's going to be even that much better in the North American scene.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we saw Bittersweet out in Europe as well make their way into the Pro League, knocking out the Buck Twins, which was pretty wild. And then on top of that, yeah, FAB Esports, man. I mean, these guys came to North America. They played at HGS Las Vegas, got a little bit more experience there against the North American teams. I mean, you can just really tell that they are ways ahead of all the European teams now. So FAB Esports, I really hope to see them compete a bit more in North American events down the road, and see how well they kind of put up a fight the next time they come out here.
Yeah, and it'll be cool to see if we can get another kind of crossover event happening next year. I mean, that's just kind of a wish list thing, but we'll see how that goes. But we have the North American finals coming up here, and there's been a while since we've actually covered HCS kind of focused on the podcast in a while. I think the last time we did was actually Worlds, and there's been a lot of team shakeups since then. Snipedown getting moved off of EG and is now over on the team that is poised to win, Team Envious. And we've had a few other shakeups within the realm of the North American team. So I guess kind of what I wanted to get from you is, because I mean, the only kind of analog that we have to team changes is athletic sports, so like basketball and NFL draft and that kind of stuff. So how is the scene with, and this is something I've always wondered too, how is the scene in the esports realm as far as like team switching? And I know there's been a point where rosters are locked right before finals, and then there's just a lot of dynamics of teams evaluating players, and there seems to be a lot of turnover in the esports realm. So how does that kind of work out into Halo?
Yeah, so I mean, Halo team changes since the beginning of time has been something that's been very wild. You see team changes constantly after every event back in the day, and there's been, yeah, that slow implementation of trying to kind of control that chaos and have that building process where players and that team work together a bit more. Obviously, teams are still able to change a player and between seasons change two players from their team. But you look at Optic Gaming. Optic Gaming did extremely well over the course of 2016, and they've stuck together. They lost X Games. They stuck together through that. And it is a lot easier to say with a team like Optic Gaming, when you're winning, obviously, you're not going to change up. Everybody's gunning for you. And that's kind of where team changes come in Halo, is all these teams, they may be good, they may be placing second consistently or in the top three consistently, but nobody just wants to be content with placing top three or placing top two. Everyone's trying to take down Optic Gaming. And you brought up Snipedown, and that's actually a really interesting topic that I love talking about, because a lot of people in the community thought Snipedown's play style, it doesn't work for Halo 5. This guy's done. He's kind of moving on. He was great at previous Halos, but Halo 5 is just not his game. And he came into Team Envious with a lot of controversy about his play style. And he works so well with these guys on Team Envious that these guys have really just kind of really put all doubts to rest on Snipedown and just around their team entirely by how well they've done throughout the entire Pro League. So, I mean, a big shout out to Snipedown for being able to just like not let all those words influence him and just use that to drive his ambition and drive his himself to be a better competitor. We've seen him progress throughout the entire season. Yeah, he's still got that core Snipedown where he's He's got the sniper. He's hanging back, playing a little bit more passive. But you do see him kind of on the front lines a bit more now. And I think that's helped kind of teaming with Hook and Mikwin, two guys that are extremely aggressive and in your face. He's able to kind of adapt to what they do and kind of even learn a little bit from them. But yeah, I mean, you look at all the other teams as well. The team changes throughout the entire season. I mean, we saw Victory X get knocked off Evil Geniuses, and EG was actually a team that beat Optic Gaming in the first week of the fall season. So it's kind of crazy to see them kick off Victory X, and then Victory X goes to Luminosity. I mean, I could go through all the team changes. There's a whole list of them, but it's trying to find the right mix of players, because all these guys, they are so good individually. These guys have great shots. They can outsmart you, outplay you, but it really comes down to how well these guys work in that whole team environment with certain players and certain people. And once they find that right mix, that's where you're going to see them kind of explode, and then they're going to go in deeper and take their time to critique themselves on a game type basis and down to the littlest things. And I think that's what we're seeing from actually Team Liquid and Team Envious right now. Team Liquid is still kind of a little roller coasty, or they're kind of like on a roller coaster at times, where they're up and they're down, kind of back and forth. But when those guys are consistent, man, I mean, those guys are bringing the fire. You cannot count them out of the game, and we saw that at HCS Las Vegas, knocking Team Envious down to the losers bracket, and then we saw that crazy series go down to that reset, and then all the way to a game seven. Ultimately, Team Envious won, but it just showed that they have what it takes. And kind of the top three teams have got to be Optic Gaming, Team Envious, and Team Liquid right now. Straight Ripping snuck into the top four by being down early on in the Pro League. They had Maniac leave their team right before the season, and there was all, or right at the start of the season, and they were going through and went around with a few players. I believe they picked up Renegade, that was, and they kind of went around a little bit until they ultimately came with the lineup that they have now, and they seem to be meshing really well. Came in extremely clutch at the end of the season to secure their spot over Luminosity. And I mean, it was a battle down to the final weeks for four of those teams. And technically, you could even say put Team Liquid in there. If Team Liquid would have lost any one of their series, that would have put them down for us potentially not making the top four. So I kind of went on a tangent a little bit there.
No worries.
All of Pro League might have answered some future questions you were going to ask. But yeah, when it comes down to it, team changes, that's a part of the game. And that's something that's always going to be there. And you always want to try and find the right mix of guys. And sometimes people change. People want to change their play styles. And what you think might work really well before the season starts may not actually work as well once the season starts. People kind of let jitters and nerves get to them. But yeah, does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, I think it gets that and a little bit more into just some of the team roster changes, which, I mean, kind of addresses a couple of the other questions I had in mind, but I appreciate that. Going into the finals here, we've kind of seen a little bit of a settling, or at least kind of from what I've seen, and Envious is kind of rightly up there. But like you said earlier, there's definitely some room for them if they're not on their game to get the rug kind of taken out from under them with Liquid and Optic Gaming. And like you said, with Straight Ripping, that was kind of a sneak into the fourth slot there, the fourth seed. And I know there was a lot of hype when Straight Ripping was announced to come back for the Summer League, of just kind of some of the glory days of MLG. I remember seeing quite a few tweets out there of people retweeting the Straight montage. I think that was from like Dallas 09 or something, or like the 09 montage.
Yeah, the OG Straight Ripping montage.
Yeah, there's a lot of tweets about that and just some reminiscing of MLG moments. That was really cool to see. But that's kind of something that is a little bit different nowadays, because you have all these esports leagues and then you have all these player sponsorships, and it's kind of interesting to see a kind of classic logo or a classic team name get brought back into the series. Do you think we'll see anything else like that make a return eventually, or do you have a little more insight into why the straight ripping name came back?
I don't know the whole story behind it, but I do think it's awesome that we're seeing Straight Ripping as an org now. It's interesting to see that name there again. Like when I see the logo, I'm just like, man, like that brings back, that logo just brings back so many memories from when I was competing back in the day. Will we see any more, like maybe your Carbons or Final Boss? I don't know. I'm not sure. I was surprised to see the Straight Ripping name return, and I'm all for it. And it's definitely definitely cool to kind of see that name back, and you see a lot of support as well, kind of backing the Straight Ripping name, and people. It's cool to see how many people are still involved in Halo that were involved back then when Straight Ripping was a big name. So, I mean, it's cool. It's cool to have them back, and look forward to seeing how they can do at North American Finals, and see if they will be able to kind of keep rallying their way back up to the top.
Nice. Now, I know I'm asking some kind of unorthodox questions, not exactly participating or particularly relating to the finals, but I've had Golden Boy on here before and a couple of other casters, but I don't think I've had a caster on that's gone from competing to casting as far as being able to actually talk to it. I've had Bravo on, but we've never really gotten to that topic. So what's it like to go going from a player back in the MLG days and getting brought on to 343 and doing casting stuff? You have the head knowledge of playing, so that probably gives you a little bit of an edge. But how does that kind of translate and help you cast the pro matches?
I'd say for me, it's awesome to go through this transition because I love being involved in Halo, and this is my passion. This is my life. I grew up competing for 10 years. I've been playing Halo since Halo 1 pretty much came out. So I've got a lot of hours logged in every single Halo. And I guess, having those hours logged and that competition behind me it helps me out when I cast, and because I do have an insight and understand the game, how it works. And obviously now I may not compete at the highest level in Halo 5, but I do understand it. And I may not be able to execute like I once was able to. But it's still enjoyable for me to watch these games and watch how close these series are. And there's moments where I just get the chills up my back because I remember being in moments similar to the ones where I'm casting, where it's like down to the wire, 49-49. And you want that sniper. You want to make the play. And you want to be the guy that hits that crazy headshot for your team and bring home the W when it's in the grand finals or when it's in like the game 5 of the match or down to the final game in the match. But it's cool having like Walshy, T-Squared, Elamite, Bravo, all these guys that were also involved so much in Halo, still involved and contributing to helping build competitive Halo as a whole. So it's really good to build these friendships, I guess, still that we've had since like 2005, 2006. And actually, I went to high school with Elamite. So I was telling him, like, when we casted the summer season of Pro League, I was like, dude, we're both here casting Halo. And I mean, just imagine back when we were in high school, just playing Halo for fun after like soccer practice or cross country practice. We're just playing Halo 1 and playing, like, sometimes we play split screen and all be hooked up on tube TVs. And it's just like, we've come such a long way. And
what's split screen?
Yeah, I'm just happy to still be involved. Yeah. Down to when we didn't even play on LAN. It was just a four-way split, and we're all just playing on a four-way split right there. And it's like you can screen watch and everything. Dustin, I'm just happy to still be involved in helping the scene grow and trying to help new players kind of make a name for themselves and make their way up through the ranks. And we're seeing that slowly happen, especially with like the addition of Free For All. We saw a lot of great games and some new names come out of nowhere at Orange County and Las Vegas.
It'll be nice to see just more names pop up. And it seems like, at least kind of while I've been keeping track of the competitive scene, that every new game, there's always been some small group of new players that come in and help redefine and create some new tactics for competing in Halo. So I'm expecting that we'll see something very similar for Halo 6 whenever that comes around. But as far as being able to like really pull together the teams that we have going into the finals now, and I know we already talked about kind of some of the team shakeups, but there's a lot of kind of core dynamics that seem to be kind of developed between a lot of the players, and a lot of them stem back from some really ancient times, like Snipe Down and Pistola being back together. They're kind of a pair to not mess around with. And then you have the Royal 1 and Royal 2 on the same team, and then you have Lethal on there as well. So you have but within these teams, there's a mix of some new blood in there too. So it's always interesting to see some of the, I guess, kind of legacy Halo players get mixed in with a new one, and always trying to keep that new fresh perspective, and always trying to learn, and trying to learn the new tactics to keep them on top of their game. So what is it? I know you talk to the players a lot through the events that you go to, and between casting, you get to talk to a lot of teams. What's kind of the, how do you understand the dynamic of being able to, for the pro players to integrate new teammates? Because it's one thing to kind of get comfortable with a set group or a squad that you just run in with pro games or matchmaking or whatever. But what is it like to have to basically be willing to bring someone else in to teach you new things on these pro squads?
Yeah, I mean, like, let's take a look at Envy, where they picked up Hook. Hook kind of just blew up into the scene for his very first tournament and just showed that he has an immense amount of individual skill. And then when you put him up with like Pistola, Snipe Down, who have been around, and even Miquin. Miquin's been around for a long time, Snipe Down and Pistola a little bit longer. But when you have Pistola and Snipe Down kind of guiding you on how to be a better team player or how to work better on certain game types, Hook is going to be able to take that in, and he's going to be able to have a good trust with those kind of veteran players. And those veteran players are going to have good trust in Hook because they know he's so skilled individually and that he's willing to learn. He's just a young player who he wants to be the greatest. He wants to win. I mean, after this guy won at HCS Las Vegas, I saw him just starting to get a little bit emotional because he's been close. He's been really close to winning a few times, making it to the grand finals, and just falling short. But when you mix just raw talent and a player that's willing to learn and willing to listen with veteran players that know so much and still have that individual skill as well, I mean, you're setting up a recipe for success. And it's not going to be every day where a new player just comes into the mix like Hook did. It's really rare to find a player like that and just be able to kind of mold them into a team player and be able to expect that they are just individually incredible. You never see Hook go for stats or anything like that. You never see him just trying to overload on the power weapons. It's not like he always wants the sniper rifle or the rocket launcher. He's really aware of his surroundings and just makes the right play at the right time and does what he needs to do for his team. So I think it's great that we do have that mix of kind of that young blood, the newer players, mixed with the veterans. And I think that's something we're going to keep seeing as Halo progresses, because we're seeing a lot of new young talent, even through the free-for-all, kind of show off their skills. And it just takes one tournament where a team says, hey, we need a new fourth. We can give someone an opportunity and kind of teach them a little bit more about team play. And then they're into the mix.
So other than the free-for-all tourneys, how do pro teams typically go about finding other players? Is it just something where they're playing in matchmaking, or they kind of get referenced for a friend, or do people find them through like the Waypoint forums or TBON forums or Halo Reddit, something like that?
I don't think there is a one-way solution. I've heard so many different stories. of how people have been kind of noticed or figured out. A lot of people through free-for-all over the years, like myself, Pistola, and Snipedown, we really got recognized through free-for-all. You look at Hook. Hook just came into a tournament and placed second place at North American Regionals earlier this year. And that kind of put him on the board. And people were like, oh, man, who is this guy? And how did he get so good? But, I mean, the list goes on, and there's just so many different ways, whether, yeah, like you mentioned, playing with someone in matchmaking or playing with someone online, and you just notice that they really do have a good skill. And maybe you see how they play at tournaments, and then you end up giving them the opportunity. It's a little bit of the right timing, a little bit of luck, a little bit of skill, and just a little bit of kind of knowing these top players that and making a relationship with them where they will give you that opportunity. And just kind of being, an all-around player.
So as far as like the skill that it takes to be an all-around player, I know for me, like I'm horrible at consistency of getting my shots in. I can typically think strategy, but I can't execute. What's some of the more common, I guess, skill gaps that you see some kind of like upcoming pro players or pro players that just don't quite make it there that people should probably look out for if they want to become pros?
Consistency definitely is something big. And I think it's just being good at a variety of game types. You'll see players that are really good on maybe a few game types, but there is a lot of game types that are played in the HCS, and you have to be good at pretty much all of them. You can veto game types here and there, but more likely than not, you're probably almost going to play every single game type, and you want to be able to know how to play each game type at the top level. And then when you talk about consistency, it's just trying to be in that right competitive mindset every game and just kind of having a plan. I think where these new younger players and even younger teams could just go over maybe strategies a little bit more, and just so they have their plan, like, hey, this game type, yeah, you have your beginning strat, but what's after the beginning strat? What are we doing here? What are we controlling throughout the game? Where are we forcing them to spawn constantly? If we get them off the spawn trap once in a row, twice in a row, where are we going from there and there? It's just knowing what to do in every situation. And Snakebite has said it many, many times. They've played so much Halo 5. They have been put into nearly every situation by the time they get to the tournament. So when they get to the tournament, they already know what they're going to do, no matter what situation they're put in. If they're losing and they're getting pushed back off the spawn, they already have a strategy on what to do. If they're getting flag capped on, they know, hey, this flag's over. We're not going to be able to stop this. Let's not play too aggressive and try to stop it and lose one or two of our guys, and then give them the upper hand again. Just let the flag cap go and let's reassemble and try and counter cap. So I think that's what, it just comes down to a lot of little stuff and just really having a plan.
There you go, folks. If you want to get better.
Yeah. So your shot can, I guess to kind of add to that too, it's like your shot can only be so good and your shot can only take you so far. From there, it's all about the mental game and like the strategic side of the game on outsmarting your opponent. And yeah, you're going to get into those 1v1 fights sometimes where it's going to be extremely clutch if you win. But remember, it's a team game down. It's a 4v4 game and you're working together as a whole. It's kind of like looking at the big picture from overhead instead of just kind of being tunnel visioned into each 1v1 fight that you get into.
Now, we've seen a couple of updates to the matchmaking playlist that kind of coincides with the Halo Championship Series settings and map layouts and stuff. And in the past, at least back in the MLG days, we saw some Forge content get brought into the Pro Series. Is there anything that you guys are looking at from a Forging perspective of possibly including some new maps in future seasons while we're still in Halo 5?
So you're asking if we're going to implement new maps or
yeah,
new weapons?
New maps. I'm assuming new weapons might come as playtesting and new maps come, but primarily new maps.
I mean, yeah, we're always playtesting and always looking to balance the game types, the maps. But yeah, I think this is kind of one of those questions where we're kind of open to kind of see where we're going from after fall finals. Obviously, we can't change anything right now, but yeah, 2017 is going to be a big year for Halo, and we've got a lot of cool stuff in store.
Since it was announced today in the latest rec coming out, Pro Pipe and Pro League, the grenade launcher.
The grenade launcher. Oh, yes, yes, yes. The grenade launcher. Okay.
Any chance to see that in the Pro League?
I can neither confirm or deny right now, but definitely I'm excited to see what people think about the grenade launcher. I know the grenade launcher, historically, people have loved it. I loved it using it back in the day. So yeah, we'll see what kind of people, where they're at, what they think of it. And we'll see what happens.
I have to say, ever since they kind of started doing some, like implementing brand new weapons into the sandbox for Halo, I've always enjoyed those. So like in Halo 3, I love the Spartan laser. In Halo 4, I love the railgun. In Halo 5, I love the plasma caster. It's like all these kind of like off the wall weapons that kind of get added, and they're kind of like new implementations I always love. So to have the Pro Pipe back, to have the grenade launcher back from Reach is awesome to me.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. You'll have to let me know what you think of it once you get a chance to play.
I'll be playing it this weekend, that's for sure.
Nice.
So looking into this weekend, what's kind of the two teams that you're looking out for, as far as these two teams are going to probably be the most evenly matched and are going to generate the best viewing matches of the weekend?
Well, it's hard not to say Optic Gaming. Optic Gaming obviously is such a big organization, and they have a killer following. And then on top of that, I mean, Optic Gaming, you've got the four best players in Halo right now. They've won the last three major live tournaments without dropping a single game in the grand finals. So these guys, I mean, they're on the top right now, and everyone's gunning for them. I'd say their biggest competition right now, it's got to be Team Envious. Team Envious holds the number one seed. They beat them both times in throughout the fall season of Pro League. But I think Liquid is seriously really close right there as well. Liquid is kind of up and down from time to time, but if they are playing when they are hot against Optic Gaming or Team Envious, I could easily see them putting up a pretty good fight and maybe taking the series from them.
And we have it's all four teams, and is it the five matches for normal, and then it's the seven matches for the grand finals? Is that the bracket?
It will be best of seven throughout
the whole thing?
Okay. Throughout the whole thing, yes.
So we'll have quite a bit of Halo to watch on Sunday.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty good matches on Sunday. Even Saturday is going to be good. We may see some new teams making into the next season of Pro League. So, I mean, Enigma 6 and Allegiance, they're not safe yet. Threes Up has been looking pretty good, and those guys have been putting in a lot of time.
Awesome. So make sure you check out both days. I'll only be able to check out Sunday, but for everyone else, try to check out both days. Since you kind of touched on a little bit the fact that Optic Gaming has won all the in-person events, I know there's definitely some discrepancies of gameplay when it comes to online play versus in-person play with tournaments. And it seems like HCS has tried to accommodate that pretty well throughout the seasonal play, and then having these tournaments that kind of help interrupt kind of the online play and help provide a little bit more, I guess, kind of tactile feedback and being in the zone there. How's it different for the teams being there in person than it is online for those that may not understand how that tiny difference? And you have a lot of the head game of actually being there, but you have the online experience, which is different from the tournament experience. How's that really play into some of the differences that we've seen between the two different types of play styles?
Being it live at a tournament, it's going to be a lot more sound, a lot more action is going to be going on. You're going to have the crowd roaring upon each and every play each and every sick play that someone makes. So if you're on the bad side, if you're on the receiving end of a sick play, then that's good. You're going to hear the crowd go nuts. And to some people, that gets to them. And you've got all the lights on you. You've got all the eyes at the event on you. So some people have a hard time kind of dealing with that pressure. And that's where you see some different sides of players, where one, they play in the comfort of their own home. They're super comfortable. And once they get to an event, so they play a little bit different. They're not playing like they normally do. So that's always been a factor in competitive video games as a whole. Whenever players come to an event, it's a whole different experience.
And I can definitely attest to being in several tournaments, especially Worlds, and then the big one before that, the FFA one, Champions back in Seattle, that the environment of being there in person is electrifying for sure. And I can only imagine what it's like for the players, because I've never been in that position. But you can attest to that.
Yeah, even so, when I'm casting, I'm like, man, I know they're feeling, they got a little bit of nerves going right there. And like, as a competitor, you have to control those nerves, and you actually get to a point where you just enjoy the hype. You're just like, all right, this is it. You just like, you start to feel good, kind of sometimes put a little smirk or a little smile on your face. You're like, all right, we're here, let's do this. So definitely a good feeling though.
But again, the finals are this weekend. You can watch it on Twitch and YouTube, and I believe it's going to be on Beam as well. Is that right?
Yeah. We'll be on twitch.tv/Halo Saturday and Sunday. So you'll want to check out relegation on Saturday and then the finals with the top four teams from the fall season, and see who's going to be crowned the champion of the fall season. Optic Gaming's holding the throne from summer. And let's see if anybody else can steal it away from them.
And then something else for folks here that might be interested in competitive stuff to check out is something that got started after Worlds, which is the HCS Listen-In, which is co-hosted by StrongSide.
And Tashi. Yeah. Well, yeah, the main host is Tashi. But we actually haven't got to make an episode the past couple weeks, just because there's been so much going on. We had everything with Vegas happen a few weeks ago, and then Thanksgiving break, a lot of people went home to see their families. And then right after that, we had European finals. So a few of us on the team didn't really make it back into the office for a couple weeks. We were just all on the road, traveling across the world, and making magic happen for Halo. So it's not over yet. We've still got fall finals for North America. So just a lot of Halo, a lot of competitive Halo happening.
Yeah, and that'll go right into, I guess, will there be a winter season, or is it going to wait till spring after the fall?
Will there be a winter season in December?
December leading into February, or is it going to be something that's going to be, from the fall season, you'll go into a spring season?
We have not announced anything with that, but we'll be announcing details on what's to come for 2017.
Alrighty. And then there's also another little announcement. I know you can't talk too much to it yet because it's still pretty fresh on the press, but there's going to be a new esports Halo show that's actually coming to television.
Pretty rad. Yeah. I neither can confirm or deny anything without the permission of the Master Chief. So that's my go-to line when I know I'm not supposed to say anything. So my lips are sealed.
All we know is that it's coming out next year, and it's supposed to be, when we talked a little bit about it last week when we recorded after the announcement was made, but that'll be interesting to see. And it'll actually be able to show a side of the competitive players that we don't normally get to see, because we get to see them at tournaments, but we don't get to necessarily see how they practice or what their normal regimen is. But I want to thank StrongSide for taking the time out of his workday to come be on the show. And again, I highly suggest that if you are a fan of HCS or competitive Halo, that you check out his and Tashi's show, which is HCS Listen-In, which you can find on SoundCloud, and I'm assuming it's on iTunes as well.
Yeah, and we tweet it out all the time as well, so you can find it when we're tweeting it out through Tashi's Twitter, my Twitter, or the HCS Twitter. Yeah, as long as you're following HCS, you'll know when it's live.
And speaking of Twitter, follow the official Twitter accounts. You have at ESL Halo, at HCS, and that's where you'll be able to find all of your ETH info regarding this weekend. I think they've already started doing some teases, and they've done some little like advertising things already on their Twitters as well. So make sure you check that out. Follow all the official places, and hopefully we will get to see some of you guys on the stream, and maybe a couple of you guys at the ESL Studios. I know I will not be there this time. Hopefully, maybe in other finals I'll be able to make it out to. Being the holiday season, all is kind of not quite in the budget. But looking forward to a wonderful weekend. I'm assuming you will be casting Strongside.
Yep, I'll be out there. We've got a good group of guys that'll be casting. I know Walsh is going to be out there. Sims, T Squared, Elamite, and then we'll have a host. We'll have a few. I guess kind of. I don't know if they've announced it yet. So maybe a surprise host and surprise guest or something out there as well.
All right. Well, thanks again, Strongside. I believe you can follow him. Let me get this. Let me see if I get this right. Mick Strongside on Twitter, right?
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. It's actually my initials, MC. I'm gonna fight for that OG Strongside Twitter handle one day.
And to wrap things up, since I kind of flubbed this when we were at Worlds, congratulations on the actual engagement.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I remember I made the false assumption that you guys were already engaged when we were at dinner that one time. So apologies for that, but congratulations.
Thank you. No worries at all.
And hopefully we can have you on the podcast again, if not soon after the finals.
Yeah, definitely, man. Sounds good. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you this weekend. Thank you for having me on the show. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you guys are all excited to watch this weekend. And for what's to come in the future. A lot of cool things, a lot of big things, and yeah, let's keep growing competitive Halo. Day by day, we're growing competitive Halo.
See you guys on the flip side.